Gracias, aleluya. Aleluya.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercies toward us. Thank you for your presence and power that is working great things in our lives and situations. Thank you for your strength that is replacing our weaknesses. Thank you for making difficult things easy for us. Thank you for putting upon us anointing of excellence, anointing to succeed in everything we do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for enforcing your justice to happen in our lives, especially to make sure we get the things that belongs to us. Thank you for enforcing your justice to happen in our favor. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for edification that we get from you through your Holy Spirit in us. You are building us up in your divine wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We are growing day by day to know you more, to know your ways more, to know your standards, your principles, and your nature more and more. Thank you for helping us to grow. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for those questions we couldn't find answers to some years back, but now we know the answers to those questions because you have spoken to us and you have taught us by yourself. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn again at your feet, to hear your word, to receive instructions, directions, and revelations that comes through your word. I ask that you teach every one of us here this evening. Make us understand things we do not know before. And remind us of things you have once revealed to us, even during the course of the teaching. Open our eyes that we may see and be established in your truths and standards in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for We know you are going to do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We started a new theme or teaching title or topic, if you can call it like that. Yeah, the reason why I like to use theme, teaching series, title, is because we are going to come across a lot of other topics. A lot of other topics and points as we go on in the teaching. Yeah, so I call the new title The Christian's Relationship to Society. The Christian's Relationship to Society. And last week, we talked on the topic that says, Christians do not belong to this world. And we stopped at the point, we stopped at point B, where I was talking on, we are sojourners in this world, pilgrims passing through. Yeah, that was where we stopped. So now we are moving to point C, still on the same topic. Christians do not belong to this world. So maybe you can say part two of Christians do not belong to this world. Maybe you can say part two. Yeah, I don't know how you write it. But you can just continue from where we stopped and just move to point C. Yeah, but before then, I'm going to ask a question based on what we discussed last week. There's nothing much that we ask. I just want you to provide two scripture verses that I mentioned under the point where I said we are citizens of heaven. For those of you that were here during the last teaching, mention two Bible verses I listed under the point where I said we are citizens of heaven. So which is point A? We are citizens of heaven. I mentioned like four Bible verses. Yeah, so mention just two out of those four. Yeah, so you can type it in the comment section while I move on to the next to point C. So point C, we are looking at heartly lands and homes are only temporary. Heartly lands and homes are only temporary. Remember that the point is, I mean, the topic is Christians do not belong to this world. We have talked on point A, which says we are citizens of heaven. Point B says we are sojourners in this world, pilgrims passing through. Now, point C says earthly lands, that is, landed properties and homes, maybe mansions, beautiful houses, are only temporary. Let us look at Leviticus. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, verse 23. Leviticus 25, verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. This is God talking here. Yeah, you know, the book of Leviticus is full of instructions, diverse instructions from God himself, instructions concerning a lot of things. And here God was giving instructions concerning landed properties. And then he told them that the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For the land is mine. For the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Yeah. What God is trying to reveal here is that we cannot, or we should not think that we own the properties we own. Yeah, let's say you have land, for instance. Don't think that it is yours. Yeah, it is the Lord's. Don't forget in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So don't think that you own the properties you own. The lands belong to the Lord. The lands belong to the Lord. So if you have any property, see it as God's possession. Yeah, because God gave rules about landed properties. He gave rules that allows allows land to be redeemed back by, let's say, for instance, you bought land from someone. After some number of years, and yet the family that used to own that land, they are still poor and they are suffering. God gave instructions that permit anyone in that family to buy the land back from you. Like to redeem the land back from you for those that are suffering in that family. I don't know if you are getting the point. Let me read verse 24, Leviticus 25. Verse 24 and 25. Or let me read it to 27. Leviticus 25 from verse 24 to 27. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Yeah, so God gave laws that permit that those who once owned a land, yeah, that permit them to get it back. Provided they can pay the price to redeem the land back. Now God is God gave this kind of instruction to show us that we should not think that we own anything in this world forever. It's just an illustration to show us that we don't own anything in this world. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. Pilgrims. Sojourners. Yeah, and God can place a demand on whatever you have. So if God places a demand on whatever you have, you should easily, without refusing, without questioning God, you should easily hand over that thing to God. Because all the land is His. He owns the earth and everything in the earth. So let that be in your heart, that if God allow you to have houses, and lands. Don't consider it yours. Consider it as God's property, not your own property. Even though it's your name that will be on the document, consider it as God's property, and that God can place a demand on that property. God can tell you to accommodate strangers. He can tell you to give free accommodation to some people for some time and not collect any money from them. In fact, God can tell you to give some space on your land for His work to be done. Maybe there's a church with members, and they are looking for a space to be holding meetings, a space to gather together and worship God. And then you have land, you have buildings. Why can't you offer such for the work of God and say, people don't go, and say, pastor or whatever is the name of the leader of the church. Yeah. Why can't you say, please come and use this land? Pastor, please come and use this land for the work of God. Yeah. You did not give the pastor, you have given it to God, not the pastor. Yeah. Because it's going to be used for the work of God. I'm not talking about those pastors that they take land from people and they don't use the land for the work of God. Then they go and sell the land and put the money in their pocket. Yeah, those ones are fake pastors. Yeah. So I'm talking about when the property has to be used for the gospel, for the spread of the gospel. So let's say the church used to be in a location, and then the number of the members start growing, and then that location could not hold them anymore. Maybe they are now the numbers of the people who start increasing from 200 to 500 to 600, and then they can't continue in that small place again, and then they need another land, and you have the land, then you can just give it out. As I give God, I give the kingdom of God this land. So it's not pastor you have given in that case. You have given God the land that they should use it for the work of God. Yeah, and no true man of God will choose to misuse such privilege. In fact, the pastor will be happy to have such gifts. Yeah. So, we should always have it in mind. Yeah, because some of you here, God is going to give you properties, a lot of properties. So have it in mind that I am not the owner, it is God. It is God that owns this. So anytime God places a demand for this, I will give Him. Yeah. So that His work will prosper on earth. Yeah. So let us know that, because we are just pilgrims and sojourners in this world. We own nothing. God is the owner of all things, including our very life. God is the owner of our lives. Amen. Let's look at point D. Which says our life on earth is brief. Our life on earth is brief. That is, we are not going to live forever here on earth. And as a matter of fact, we are not going to live for many years here on earth. Nowadays, the highest people live maybe 100, 120. It's rare for people to live up to 120 nowadays. Very rare. Yeah, even at that point, some family members will already be praying for the person to die, because even at that age, the person is likely to be a burden to the people. Yeah, because at that age, all forms of sicknesses start showing up. Yeah, and sometimes even the person might start having dementia. I will not be able to remember things again. I mean, the old person. Yeah, I'm talking about people at maybe 120 years old. Yeah, sometimes they won't be able to remember things anymore. Sometimes they will not even remember their own children. Yeah, sometimes their eyes can't see very well again. Yeah, so our lives here on earth is very brief. But I wonder how people easily forget that they have just very few years to live on earth. Maybe you think 100 years is long. My brothers and sisters, 100 years is very short. Very, very short. Yeah, in fact, if you minus your present age from 100, how many years is left? Just very few years is left. Yeah, 10 years ago to me, just like yesterday, because I can still fully remember everything that happened 10 years ago, and in my memory, it looks like they happened just yesterday. So before I know anything now, another 10 years would have gone. Before you know anything, I mean, before you close your eyes and open, I'm speaking in parables. Another 10 or 20 years have gone. Yeah, so the time is moving very fast. Yeah, years are going very fast. And we will get old, whether we like it or not. No one will continue to be young. That only happens in heaven, not here on earth. So our lifespan on earth is very brief. And that alone should teach us wisdom. That alone should teach us wisdom. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name, let's look at First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. First Chronicles 29:15. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. There is none abiding. So no one is going to stay here forever. Yeah, it says our days on earth are as a shadow. Yeah. As a shadow. It's not permanent. You know that shadows, they don't stay there permanently. It depends on the direction of the sun. It depends on how the sun is shining on an object. You know, when the sun shines on an object, the object casts a shadow. Yeah. So once the sun stops shining, you won't see the shadow anymore. Yeah. Or even the sun starts shining from another direction, you might not see the shadow anymore. Yeah, so we really need to be wise. Our days here on earth are very few. So you might think, 100 years, I want to live up to 100 years, 120. You might think is a long years. It's not long. Is very small. I'm telling you the truth. Very few. Very few. Let's look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17. First Peter 1 verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Yeah, that is a very wise admonition. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So God wants us to fear Him, knowing that we have very short time here on earth. So we should be more mindful of where we are going after our days are completed here on earth. After this human life expires. This human life that we have right now, after it expires, we should be more conscious of where we are going from here. Yeah, we should be very conscious of that. We should prepare for our eternity. Even while there is still grace for that. Prepare for your future beyond this world. Recently, maybe yesterday, I was meditating on a lot of things, and in the midst of my meditation, I suddenly began to understand that the future of everything here on earth is already written on them. Yeah. It just came to my understanding that the future of everything here on earth is already written on them. I'm talking about the eternal future of everything here on earth is already written on them. For those who can think deep, yeah, for those believers who can think deep, they would be able to see the future of everything here on earth. Yeah, so I began to understand those things that their future ends in destruction. And then I began to understand the other things that their future ends in eternal life. And I began to ask myself, why are people so much running after things that has no eternal future? Are things that will perish with this world. Why are people not chasing after the real things? Because the real things are those things that will abide forever. Those ones that would fade away with time, they are not real. They might be real to your eyes. But to the eyes of those who can see deep, they are not real. Yeah, I began to ask myself that. What is the joy in pursuing something that you will not always have? I began to ask myself that, what is the joy of pursuing after something? I mean, what is the joy in pursuing after something I will not have forever? Something I will lose eventually. Now, what is the joy running after that thing? And then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me that not having the things, not having those things the people of the world are running after forever. How do I say it in English? That the fact that the people of the world cannot have the things they are running after forever, that is, they can't continue to have it forever, that creates a lot of sorrow in their hearts. Yeah, that is what the Holy Spirit was telling me. is that the fact that what the people of this world, I mean, the fact that the people of this world cannot have what they are chasing after forever. For instance, money, cars, sex, marriage, and the beauties of this world. The fact that they cannot have those things forever creates in their hearts a very deep sorrow. Yeah. So, because he said many of them, when in hell, when they get to hellfire, and then they start thinking of all the things they enjoyed in the world, it gives them more sorrow in hellfire. I mean, why the fires in hell keeps burning them. And then they began to think of all the things they enjoyed in the flesh when they were still on earth. And then they look at their present state in hell. They start crying. Yeah. They start crying because in hell there is nothing like those pleasures, those enjoyments they used to have on earth. When they got to hell, they met nothing like that. It was pains, all through, eternal pains, eternal torment. So the thought of the fact that I once used to enjoy life, even though that enjoyment, I don't think it's enjoyment. Yeah, to me, it's not enjoyment. To me, the real enjoyment is to be in God's presence. So I don't believe all of that things in this world. I don't see them as enjoyment. In fact, I see them as burdens. Yeah. The real enjoyment that I know is to be in God's presence. Yeah, because I've tasted other enjoyments and I realize that they are vanities. There's nothing, there's no life in them. They are empty and they are vanities. Yeah, just as Solomon said, that all the things in this world. You know, Solomon really got many enjoyments. He had a lot of wives and concubines. He had a lot of money. He had connections with many places in this world. Yeah, he knew a lot of people. He did experiments on many things, many pleasurable things. He was looking for pleasures from anywhere he can get. Is it in music, in sex, in alcoholic substances? He was doing, he tried, maybe as you say, research or experiments. He searched for pleasures from everything that could give pleasures. And he made sure he tasted all. And in the end, he said, they are vanities. Yeah. He said, all is vanities. That is, they are emptiness. They are meaningless. Yeah. So to me, the only enjoyment is in staying with God in His presence. Yeah, but I'm talking about people in hell when they recall the good things in this world they used to enjoy, and then they now look at where they are, look at the fires burning them, tearing their flesh, from their bones. They start to cry. Because eventually, what they were pursuing in the world could not save them. Could not save their souls. It could not prevent them from going to hell. All that they were chasing after in the world couldn't prevent them from eternal damnation. Yeah, so if we know that many of the things in this world cannot abide forever, just as we also cannot be here forever, if we know these things, then we should not chase after these things, after the things in this world. We should not chase after the elements of this world, the material things in this world, which is not we should not chase after them. Because their future is already written on them. They have been marked for destruction. In fact, including your body is marked for decay. Yeah. Your body is not going anywhere. Is going back to the ground, to the dust, and it will decay. Yeah, because there's no eternal life in your body. Yeah, of course, eternal life can be transferred into your body while you are still here doing God's work, while you need healing, deliverance. Yeah, the life of God can work in your body, but it's just temporal. When it is time for you to leave this world, the life of God will leave your body. Because your body has been condemned to corruption, to destruction, to decay. Yeah, just as a dead animal would rot and return back to the soil, so also the human body will rot and return back to the soil. So there is nothing we have here that is forever. But the only part of you that is forever is your soul and spirit. So why not pursue after those things that save the soul? Those things that enriches your soul. Those things that will give you growth, spiritual growth. Those things that edifies the soul. That revives the soul. That strengthens the soul. Those things that draws you closer to God. Why not spend your days on earth chasing after such things? Because those things are eternal. I mean, those things have future with God. Those things will live forever. Yeah. You see, all the spiritual growth you have here on earth will not leave you even after you have entered heaven. It will not leave you. Yeah. You will just get to heaven to build on the growth you already have here on earth. So every spiritual thing you are able to gain from God, including the ones that we are going to have in heaven, You know, Jesus said he's going to build, he's going to prepare mansions for us in heaven. So those are the things that lives forever, the things in heaven. And then the growth your soul have here on earth, the spiritual growth, the authority, the strength. Yeah, everything you are able to gain from Christ spiritually, those ones will abide forever. But the physical things, they will not abide forever. And we should not pursue after them. Yeah, because we are, you are more likely to perish with the things of this world when you run after the things of this world. It's going to draw you away from God. It's going to weaken your spiritual life, weaken your spiritual strength. I'm talking about everything in this world. Don't run after them, including marriage, childbearing, having properties, having cars, what else? Having money. Don't run after them. You are likely to lose eternal life when you run after those things. Yeah, because those things, they tend towards destruction. Because they have been marked for destruction. Yeah. Everything in this world, they don't have eternal life in them. They can't live forever. Then why run after things that cannot live forever? So it means they will draw you together with them. It's just like something that is going to perish and then is looking for those that will join him, that will join it to perish. Yeah, so the things of this world, the pleasures in this world, they are looking for. They don't want to perish alone. They are looking for those that will perish together with them. The same thing applies to Satan and all his demons. They know they are going to perish, but they don't want to perish alone. So you must be wise, knowing fully well that your life on earth is very brief, and then knowing that there is no repentance in the grave. Yeah, that if you don't get it right now, when you cross to the other side, there's no repentance there. Only judgment you will find there. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. It says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now let's look at point C. Point E says, guard against thinking this world is your permanent home. Guard against thinking this world is your permanent home. Let's look at Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Verse 11 to 12. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Verse 12, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Yeah. Do you get what these verses are saying? It says, you know, the people of this world, their inward thoughts is that their houses should continue forever, and that their dwelling places to all generations. Yeah, and we can see the proof that this is what they think, in the fact that they try to immortalize their names. They try to name, yeah, even in this area, in the area I'm living right now, the street where my apartment is named after someone. Yeah, so, you know, men have these tendencies to want whatever they own here on earth to live forever, to abide forever. So they try to name things after their names. Name land, streets, cities. Sometimes they try to name institutions, organizations, after their names. And sometimes they even kind of erect a statue that looks like them. Yeah. So everything comes down to the fact that they don't want to be forgotten. And they don't want their possessions to be short-lived. They want, in fact, most people don't want to die. Yeah, many people don't want to die. When you start talking about when you start talking about death, some people they will look for ways to avoid the discussion. Yeah, some, if possible, they can block their ears. They just don't want to die. But the truth remains that we can't live forever here on earth. So stop trying to make this world your permanent home as a Christian. It's not your permanent home. It's not your permanent home. You are going to leave here one day. And another thing is, we don't even know when we are going to leave. Yeah, because many people, they thought they would live longer, and they never lived long. Yeah, so we don't even know when we are going to leave. So we should really be wise, and we should invest in our future in heaven. Yeah, invest in that place. Yeah, there's a way you can walk with God here on earth, and you will be sure that if anything happens and then you have to leave this earth at any time, you'll be sure that heaven is certain for you. You'll be so sure that heaven is sure for you. So why not pursue that kind of lifestyle where you can be sure, not that you are afraid. People are afraid of death because they are not sure of where they are going. They are not sure of where they are going. That's why they are scared of death. When you are sure of where you are going, in fact, you can pray for death. Yeah, like Apostle Paul was saying, he said for me to live is Christ. and to die is gain. I don't know if you have read that in your Bible. Yeah, this man was saying that if he dies, that is a gain to him. Because he already knows where he's going. That is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What that means is that if I'm alive, it's to please Christ, not to please myself. And if I die, it's gain because I'm just going to stay with Christ forever. So I have nothing to lose. If I live, is because Christ still have work for me on earth. And if I die, is to go and spend time with Christ. And in fact, there will be nothing to stop me. Yeah. It meant that nothing would be a distraction. Nothing would hinder his fellowship with Christ if he dies. You'll be able to enjoy Christ wherever he's going to the fullest. So that was why he said, if I die, it's gain to me. So if we are sure of where we are going, we would not be afraid of death. Yeah, so why not walk the path that guarantees eternal life, than trying to be scared or trying to be at the mercy of maybe I'm going to be lucky. Maybe if I'm lucky, I will make heaven. I pray that the Lord will help you to live the kind of life that ends in heaven. In Jesus' name. So it says, Psalm 49. Let me go over it again. Psalm 49, 11 to 12. And then in verse 12 it says, nevertheless man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Man being in honor abideth not. I want us to read it in New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Psalm 49. Verse 12. But their fame will not last. They will die. They will die just like animals. But their fame will not last. Psalm 49, verse 12, NLT version. They will die just like animals. Yeah. So these are things we really need to consider as believers who, according to the scriptures, are pilgrims and sojourners here on earth. We need to consider that we can't, that we won't be here forever. And we should stop thinking, in fact, stop making plans that shows that you want to be here forever. I don't know if that's the way to put it. Stop making plans like you want to be here forever. Plans that shows that you want to be here forever. Yeah, stop making those kind of plans. I think I had a story of a man. I can't fully remember the story in detail, but I will tell you the ones that I remember. I think it was some years ago, maybe like 50 years ago or 70 years ago. I learned that at that time in the United States of America, there was this man that was very rich. Extremely rich. He has billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. And we're told that in his lifetime, people would come to him for help. He would not help them or just give them a little money. But when he died, they start discovering huge amount of dollars cash that have been piled up, millions of dollars. They start discovering those money in his houses. He had a lot of houses. I can't remember how many houses. And inside those houses, they began to find a lot of millions of dollars. And then they would dig somewhere in his compound. They would find a lot of money there. Different places, different millions of US dollars. Yeah. And this is someone people would come to when he was alive for help, and he would do nothing or little. Yeah, so the question is, those money, is he now spending it in the grave? So we don't even know if he made it to heaven, which I doubt. Yeah, so stop making plans. Like, I'm not saying it's wrong to plan for the future of your children. Yeah. Of course, that one is reasonable to plan for the future of your children. Yeah, even before you leave this world. But stop making plans that looks like you don't want to live here on earth. Stop making plans that looks like you want to stay here forever. You can't stay here forever. Yeah, it's not possible. So let us be wise. Let us be wise. Knowing that we are just pilgrims here on earth, and knowing that we do not belong to this world, let us be wise. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name. I'm going to stop here. But you can ask questions. You can ask questions even here before I end the teaching. Or you can ask on our Telegram group. Now, the scriptures that that I have here as the answers to the questions I asked earlier. I mean, the question I asked earlier, they are all correct. The reason why I'm asking you to provide the verses in the previous teaching, is to help your memory of scriptures grow, to help you to be able to remember scriptures, even to quote those scriptures, that you're able to remember what the scripture teaches on certain things or reveals, and you're able to even say it offhand without checking your Bible. So make sure that all the scriptures we use in our Bible study classes, make sure you go over them, if possible, memorize them. It will help you a lot, because the more you keep going over the scriptures, the more you keep looking at the scriptures over and over again, the more you keep reading and reciting them, the more they sink into your memory. And when you have scriptures in your memory, it will help the Holy Spirit to guide you in certain situations. Because the Holy Spirit will just bring that scripture to you from your memory. Or maybe when you are teaching or preaching, the Holy Spirit will bring that scripture to you. It's very, very good if you can memorize scriptures. So since there's no question, I'm going to round off the class. Tomorrow we are going to move to, I mean, sorry, next week we're going to move to number two, point number two. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have revealed to us through your word today. Thank you for showing us how we should live our lives, knowing that our life on earth is brief. Thank you for also showing us how we should hold our earthly possessions, how we should hold our landed properties, that we should see those properties as your properties and not our own properties, so that any time you place demands on them, we will hand them over to you and to your kingdom projects on earth. Thank you for showing us these things. Thank you also for teaching us that we should guard our We should guard our hearts against the thoughts of wanting to stay here on earth forever. Help us, Father. Help everyone who have listened to this teaching. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that you will grow in your walk with God to the point where nothing in this world will be so strong to draw you away from God. I pray that you will grow to that point where nothing in this world will be able to weaken your love for God and replace God in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.